Hello, everybody. Please allow myself to introduce myself. I'm your host, Captain Marvelous, and welcome to the 96th episode of I'm Batman, the podcast, the show where I chronologically review each episode of the 1992 Batman the Animated Series. This is an episode that I'm sure a lot of you have been waiting for, so let's dance the dance. They dance in France. Let's get to it. This week's episode is titled Over the Edge, original air date May 23rd, 1998. We start with Batman and Robin being chased inside the Batcave by Commissioner Gordon and the GCPD. I mean, holy hell, they're shooting to kill. Apparently, Gotham City Police Department has no grievances with killing a little kid. Batman and Robin head towards the Batmobile, but the GCPD, once again, that's Gotham City Police Department, shoot the car with a bazooka and destroy it. Batman and Robin run, and they manage to hide behind that giant penny that Batman keeps inside his cave for some reason. Batman tells Robin to run towards the hangar. Batman rolls the giant penny towards Gordon and the cops, and this gives him time to run away. He runs and catches up to Robin, but the two are cut off by Detective Montoya. She points her gun at them and tells them to stop as Gordon and the other cops close in from behind. Batman grabs Robin and jumps off the ledge of the cliff in the cave, and Robin even says, "Oh man, we're going to die." But Batman uses a grapple to lower them down safely. They run towards the Batboat when Gordon aims his gun carefully, and he is about to shoot Batman in the head. Seriously, he points his gun, aims at Batman's head, and says, "I'm tired of playing games, Wayne." But Alfred tackles Gordon and saves Batman's life. Alfred is being arrested by Bullock, and he tells Batman to run and leave him behind, and Batman reluctantly does. As they get away on the boat, outside the cave, the GCPD chase after him with their own boat, and they start shooting bazooka rounds at Batman. Now, this part's a bit confusing to me, because I am 100% sure that the Batboat can't submerge like a submarine. So he could be able to lose the cops at any moment just by doing this, but he doesn't. Instead, we hear somebody yell, "Well, S my D, Batman!" Whoa, Nightwing! Whoa, language there, buddy! S my D! Hey, so yeah, it's Nightwing, and he's on a jet ski. He shoots torpedoes at the police boat and stops them. Batman, Robin, and Nightwing get away to a sewer somewhere in Gotham Docks. We're inside the sewer, so it's like a big old sewer cave or something. And Batman starts to tell the story of how all this got started. We go to a flashback where we see that Scarecrow has taken City Hall hostage. Batman, Robin, and Batgirl fight his goons, but Scarecrow runs away. Batgirl runs after him as Scarecrow climbs to the roof of the building. Outside, Batgirl catches up to him, and she sees him standing there. She tackles Scarecrow, but falls for the old coat hanging from an antenna as a diversion trick. Scarecrow sneaks up behind her and smacks her in the face with his stick. She falls off the building. We cut to Commissioner Gordon and Harvey Bullock driving their car to City Hall when suddenly, BAM! Batgirl's body just hits the front of the car in a very gruesome scene. Fun fact, if you own the DVD sets, this episode does have commentary on it. Now, according to the commentary, that scene was supposed to have the camera follow Batgirl all the way down as she hit the car. But the censors did not approve of that. They thought that it would be too violent. So, they made them change the point of view to inside of the car, which, according to the creators, made the scene 20 times worse. So anyway, Gordon runs to check on Batgirl as Bullock runs to get help. Batgirl calls Gordon Dad, and Gordon unmasks her to see that it's his daughter, Barbara. Batman and Robin show up, and Batman, I'm pretty sure, just killed Scarecrow with a punch so vicious that I'm sure if he's not dead, Scarecrow will never feel his face again. Batman jumps down to Gordon, and Gordon blames Batman for everything.
Call an ambulance!
Dad.
Barbara? Oh my God, no!
Dad, Jim.
How could you? I worked with you, trusted you, and you never told me? She was my daughter.
My daughter?
Barbara dies in Gordon's arms. Bullock points his gun at Batman and tells him to surrender. He shoots at Batman's feet as a warning, but Bullock gets his gun knocked out of his hands by Robin. Robin gives Batman a rope to climb, and Batman throws some smoke bombs at the cops. Bullock calls for a full strike, but Gordon tells him to stop. He knows they won't catch Batman this way. Bullock asks, what are they going to do? So Gordon very creepily says, what I should have done years ago. As it then starts to rain, and he uses his coat to cover the dead body of his daughter still in his arms. We cut to Wayne Manor, where Alfred, Tim Drake, and Bruce Wayne are sitting, thinking about what to do next. The phone rings, and it's Gordon. He tells Bruce to cut the crap. He knows everything from spending 10 minutes on Bab's computer. Why didn't Batman take care of that sooner? If she's, like, logging blog entries or diary entries, you'd figure Bruce Wayne would be on top of that, and he would have those things, like, automatically delete or something. But whatever, I guess he still, like, just doesn't know what he's doing from the shock of Barbara dying.
Yes?
Wayne.
Commissioner, what can I do for you?
Drop the act. 10 minutes on Barbara's computer told me everything.
Like a fool, I allowed you to run wild on your private crusade.
A psychotic misfit, playing masked hero. Now I've paid for it with Barbara's life.
Jim, believe me.
I know how you feel.
You can't.
You know how I lost my parents. The only way I could hold on to my sanity was to take matters into my own hands.
That makes us even.
Bruce looks out the window and he sees the cops coming up the hill. They have a huge battering ram tank with them. Bruce sends everyone down to the cave and then we fade back to the present. Nightwing tells Batman that they need to hide in the meantime. He says that he has supplies back in his apartment and he's going to go get them. We cut to Nightwing's apartment where Montoya and the GCPD are already waiting for him. They have a shootout where Nightwing manages to subdue the police and escape to the rooftop. On the roof, three helicopters with machine guns are waiting and they shoot at him, making us think that they kill them. We cut to news footage where we see that Dick Grayson, aka Nightwing, has been arrested, but he's not given up the whereabouts of Batman. Tim Drake is watching this on the street and he runs back to report to Batman. Tim tells Batman that they can break out Alfred and Dick together, but Batman tells him no. He tells him it's time to stop. He tells Tim it's over, and he needs to turn himself in. No one will blame him because he's a kid.
Dick Grayson, also known as Nightwing, was arrested last night in a fiery shootout in Lower Gotham. Though rigorously questioned by police, Grayson refused to reveal the whereabouts of the Batman, now known to be billionaire Bruce Wayne. Police Commissioner James Gordon is spearheading the citywide manhunt.
They've got him downtown. I figure we break in, take out the guards, and spring Nightwing and Alfred at the same time.
No.
What do you mean?
It's over, Tim. Gordon feels betrayed, and maybe he was. He won't give up until he gets me. You have to leave me now. Give yourself up. No one will blame you for what happened.
What about you?
I don't know.
Tim cries and runs away as Batman leaves him, and that's the last we see of Tim Drake for this episode. Back in Gordon's office, and Mayor Hill is there telling Gordon that he needs to step down as commissioner. Since his daughter was part of the Bat family, it doesn't make the city look good. And I really love Gordon's character, throughout the episode, because people keep telling him that they can sympathize with his pain, but he yells at them, telling them that they will never know how he feels, even though these people clearly do. Bruce Wayne is the person who tells him first, I understand how you feel, and Gordon's like, no, you don't! He's like, you know how my parents were killed, yes, I do. Mayor Hill tells him, if it was my kid that would have died, I would have felt the same way, and he's like, no, it wasn't your kid, so you'll never know, which is a load of crap, because if you remember way early, I believe season one or two, in the episode Be a Clown, Joker kidnaps Mayor Hill's son, so Mayor Hill does know how it feels to have your kid kidnapped by a lunatic. Even though in that case, the kid ran away, but, you know, whatever. He keeps putting his anger in front of everything, and I really like that. Montoya and Bullock are outside Gordon's office watching TV. We cut to a weird segment where we see some of the villains that Batman has fought on a talk show, like a Jerry Springer-type talk show. They're saying that they want to sue Batman for mental distress now that they know he's Bruce Wayne. It's a weird scene, but as the commentary says, we do need a comedy breather or else you'd be depressed by the end of the episode. We see some of the new redesigns for the first time. It's Harley Quinn, Mad Hatter, Riddler, and Scarface. We've seen Scarface. We've seen Harley Quinn. It's weird because I do not like how Mad Hatter looks. I think he looks awful. He's like really short, elf-looking man now. If you remember his other design, he had a big nose. He had big goofy teeth. But he was like a tall, weird, normal-looking guy. Now he looks like a weird little elf. And I don't know. I don't like that. In Riddler, he is, oh my god, he looks bad. He is bald. He's wearing the weird little mask with the bowler hat. But now he's wearing a singlet with a question mark on it, like the old 66 Riddler from the Adam West show. But he looks really plain and dumb. And also, for some reason, Ventriloquist is there, as I mentioned, with Scarface, even though we saw that he was cured a couple of episodes ago. Although, by the end, it don't make sense why he's there.
This. Enemies of society or victims of a revenge-crazed vigilante? You decide on Gotham Exposed.
I have such horrible dreams. Every night there's a gigantic black figure chasing me, his eyes blazing like fire. I try to run, but there's no escape. He grabs me and...
The truth is, none of us would have turned to crime if it had not been for Batman. We were helpless, lost souls, crying out for understanding. What we got was a beating from a self-righteous madman. Our civil rights were clearly abused. Now that we finally know the face behind the mask, we demand justice, we demand satisfaction.
We demand money!
Yeah!
Quite so. On advice from legal counsel, we have launched a $1 billion lawsuit.
If the bat's on a spree, Wayne must pay the fee.
Disgusting.
Gordon tells Bullock and Montoya that they are going to need to take his badge from him. He's not going to lose Batman. We cut to Stonegate Penitentiary, where Gordon is making a deal with a prisoner. And this guy is huge. He's hidden in shadows, so we don't see his face. We're at Barbara's funeral as the pallbearers are carrying the casket to the hearse. Batman is watching from the rooftops. Gordon has an earpiece and he has his cops on the lookout. They spot Batman and start shooting at him. Gordon takes his gun and runs towards the shooting. I'm telling you, I love his character. He is so enraged that he doesn't even care about honoring his daughter's memory. Seriously, he leaves her funeral to go after Batman. Batman tries to escape, and he's about to open a door that gets kicked. Like, the door gets kicked out. Batman is flown across the rooftop, and holy crap, it's Bane. We haven't seen Bane since that one episode that wasn't really that well. Even the commentary mentions how the last time we saw Bane, he was kind of a buffoon. Holy crap, does he look terrifying. So he doesn't look like Blue Demon anymore. He's dressed all in black with a freaking spike collar. He has this weird black leather mask with red eyes and crooked teeth. He kind of looks like a giant, like a giant freaking BDSM gimp, but he looks scary as hell. Bane proceeds to beat the ever-loving crap out of Batman. Seriously, he beats the hell out of him. Bane throws Batman into a wall. He grabs Batman by the head, and before he could just crush him, Batman uses a gas capsule to spray Bane in the face. Bane runs headfirst into a wall, like if he's Juggernaut or something, and Batman catches the debris with his cape. He uses the rock-filled cape to beat up Bane, but Bane just smacks Batman away. Bane asks Batman if this is going to be a fight to the death, and Batman says that he no longer has anything to lose. Batman ties up Bane with a bola and shoulder tackles him off the building through a billboard to his death. Well, if it wasn't Bane, it would surely killed anybody else. Batman goes to check, but Bane is up. He throws Batman onto the rooftop of the GCPD. The bat signal lights on Batman, and we see Gordon there telling Batman to give up. Bane arrives, and he says he wants to kill Batman slowly. But Gordon says that no, he wants him alive to rot in Arkham.
There's no place to run, Wayne.
Good. I want to finish him slowly.
I want him alive. Alive to rot away in Arkham, surrounded by the monsters he's created.
Poetic, but no.
We had a deal.
Thought about it. Didn't work for me.
Bane smacks the gun away from Gordon and tells him he changed his mind about the deal. Bane throws Gordon to the edge of the roof and Gordon hangs on by his fingertips.
Please, give your dear Barbara a kiss from me.
Bane starts to step on Gordon's fingers, but Batman rescues him by throwing Bane through the bat signal. Bane and Batman fight some more, and Bane tells Batman that he says, "You are going to die," and Batman says, "You first." He cuts the venom tubes from Bane's arm, he wraps them on the bat signal, on the exposed wires, and electrocutes him to death. This time for real. Seriously, Batman just killed Bane. Batman walks over to help Gordon, but we see Bane get up, and with his last breath, throw the bat signal at Batman and Gordon before collapsing dead. The signal throws Batman and Gordon off the building and to their deaths. The end. Well, that was a weird episode for it not being the ending of the series with Commissioner Gordon, Batman, Bane, Batgirl, all of them dead. I'm pretty sure Scarecrow's dead from that punch to the face. So, I mean, it's really weird. I really don't have any after show notes for it, so let's get straight to the Batcave archives. Okay, fine. So that wasn't the ending. So the episode continues. Batman and Gordon make amends for the sake of Barbara's memory. As Batman helps Gordon up the building, Bane then throws the bat signal before dying and killing Batman and Commissioner Gordon. The end. All right, I get it. It's an old joke. As Batman and Gordon fall to their deaths, because that whole throwing the bat signal at them thing was true, so Batman and Gordon fall to their deaths, we hear a woman screaming, "No, no!" And then the screen goes white, and we see Barbara Gordon waking up screaming. She is in the Batcave, and Robin is there. Batman and Alfred show up, and Batman tells her that Scarecrow hit her with a heavy dose of fear toxin, and she has been unconscious all night. She tells him about her dream of her and her dad, of her dad and Batman being at each other's throats because she never told her dad her secret. She says that she needs to tell her dad. Batman stands there silently, contemplating whether he can kill her there or wait until later, but he says, "I understand." We cut to Babs and her dad eating dinner. She tries to tell him about her secret, but he cuts her off.
Keep cooking like that, you'll have me looking like Harvey Bullock.
Dinner wasn't the only reason I wanted to see you tonight.
Oh?
Dad, have a seat.
Uh-oh.
This is important. It won't be easy for you to hear, but it's about a job I took on recently.
Barbara, please. Sweetheart, you're capable of making your own decisions. You don't need me to approve or even acknowledge them. And in this case, I can't. All you need to know is I love you. All of you. And that is all I have to say on the subject.
Daddy.
So it appears that Gordon seems to know that she is Batgirl, or he probably thinks that she's a lesbian. No, he knows that she's Batgirl, as confirmed by the commentary. He even winks at her. He tells her that he understands that she's old enough to make her own decisions, and he can't acknowledge this one. Once again, I don't know if he thinks she's coming out. But anyways, Gordon and his daughter hug, and we fade to black. The end. All right. This episode is awesome. So some after show notes. Here is something that it's a total coincidence. There's no conspiracy theory. There's nothing here but a total coincidence. But it is still just very creepy. Exactly 1 year later, on May 23rd, 1999, WWF held its pay-per-view called Over the Edge. If you remember, that's the title of this episode. So exactly 1 year, so May 23rd, 1998, Over the Edge, Batman the Animated Series. May 23rd, 1999, Over the Edge, WWF. And that pay-per-view is famously known as the pay-per-view where wrestler Owen Hart died after an accident where his harness opened and he fell over 70 feet to his death. So the fact that Batgirl got killed by falling off a building and Owen Hart died by falling off the... well, his harness opening and falling from the rafters to his death. It's very creepy. I know it's a total coincidence. I'm not trying to make light of anything here. It's just something that really caught my attention. So as I mentioned in the review for this episode, the episode does have commentary from the creators. So if you own the DVD Volume 4 set, you can listen to it there. It's pretty interesting, but nothing mind-blowing. The commentary mentions that the entire episode was animated by Studio TMS, which if you have listened to my old episodes, I praised this studio a lot for their amazing animation. They are the studio that did the On Leather Wings and a lot of that anime style animation. They actually animated the intro to the old series. The animation here is great, but I guess this is where my problem with the redesign comes in. And it might be a problem for me, but it's obviously not a problem for the studio. You see, the old style, when TMS animated, you could really see the difference in quality. But with the new style, apart from the animation being smoother, due to the character designs, you can rarely tell that it's TMS doing animation. Now, that means the character redesign worked, because that means you could have any studio animating it, and they would stick to the character models. So, as I mentioned, this is kind of just a personal thing for me, because I really, really love TMS animation on the old episodes. According to commentary, this is the first episode to include computer animated elements. So you can clearly see it in the water effects when they're doing the Batboat chase and some of the backgrounds. It looks pretty good, especially when compared to the series that were doing it at the time or earlier, like Spider-Man the Animated Series. They used to use a lot of computer animation for their backgrounds, and it wasn't always well meshed. The commentary also talks about how, believe it or not, the inspiration for this episode came from The Simpsons. Not story-wise, obviously, but the way The Simpsons is paced and the way it uses various characters from the town of Springfield in short scenes to move the story along. So he took a lot of inspiration from that. They studied those episodes to move this episode along in this pace. So even though technically the villain of the episode is Scarecrow, he never speaks. He just laughs once and then... he isn't seen past the intro. You could say the real villain of the episode is Gordon, and that's if you considered Batman to be the hero, because you can clearly switch those roles as Batman being the bad guy here and Gordon being the hero trying to stop him. And also, this would be the last appearance of Bane in Batman the Animated Series. He appeared in an episode of Superman, and then he appeared in an episode... I'm sorry, he appeared in the movie Mystery of the Batwoman. That was a straight-to-DVD video. But as far as the main run of Batman the Animated Series go, this would be Bane's last appearance. So, with all that out of the way, let's go to the Batcave Archives.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
All right, Batcave Archives is a part of the show where we rank each episode we have reviews thus far. This is episode 96. I love this episode personally. A lot of people love this episode personally. The problem everybody has with it is the fact that it turns out to be a dream. It's a tough one, because I do agree that it's tough that it's a dream, but you can't exactly kill Batman and Gordon and then just continue the series. I mean, it would have been interesting to have Gordon and Batman die, and then for the rest of whatever 18 episodes we have left of the show, I think we have 120 episodes in total, so we have 24 episodes left. So if you can imagine 24 episodes where they have a continuous story of maybe Nightwing taking over the mantle of Batman, you know, Dick Grayson becoming the new Batman and them trying to move along, that would be very interesting, but I can totally understand why they did not go with it. That's the main gripe with this episode from everybody, but it's something that doesn't bother me as much. This episode totally belongs in the top 10 in my opinion. So let's see what do we have in the top 10. At number one, we have the episode Almost Got Him, and that's the episode where the villains play poker and they talk about their best Batman stories. That episode will remain at number one for the reason that I've always defended it with. If you were to have somebody that didn't know what Batman is, if maybe they just heard of Batman, they've never seen Batman or followed any of his stories or seen movies, they just know maybe what a Batman is, or they don't even know what Batman is, you show them that episode, and that episode will tell them everything they need to know about Batman. It will present them to some of the main villains, Joker, Two-Face, Penguin. You show them some of the lower level villains, Killer Croc, Poison Ivy, Harley Quinn, and the main level villains, you got Catwoman in there as well. It shows like a complex relationship of Catwoman and Batman, where they're hero and criminal, but they're still romantically involved with each other. The only thing it doesn't show you there is Robin, but you know, Robin, you could include him or you could not. That doesn't really affect Batman much. So I think that's a perfect episode to introduce any new viewer to the series, and that's why I remain that at number one. Number two, we have The Man Who Killed Batman. That's a story with Sid the Squid, where he's that little wimpy guy who killed Batman, or everybody thinks he killed Batman. This is a very, very well-written episode, and it's great. Another episode that shows you what Batman is while not having Batman much in the episode. So I think that's another really amazing episode. Beware the Great Ghost, that's number three, the episode with Adam West. And that is a nostalgia thing. That is a thing for fans with Adam West and the new Batman, Kevin Conroy, working together. Robin's Reckoning, another really well-written episode. That will we have at number five. And I'm sorry, I skipped number four, his Silicon Soul episode with the Batman robot. And if you notice a pattern here, those first four episodes really explain who Batman is as a character. And that's why I believe they deserve to be in those spots. Number five, Robin's Reckoning, really explores how Batman is, but it also makes you appreciate Robin. As most of you know, I'm not a fan of Robin, especially the whiny teenager Robin. I like the Tim Drake Robin. He's cool. But Dick Grayson was always give or take for me. And this episode really, really does well to put him on the good side, though. Number six, Heart of Ice. That's the episode everyone loves with Mr. Freeze. It's a great episode. I don't deny that. But it is not the best one in the series, in my opinion. Number seven, Two-Face Part 1. Another great exploration of Bruce Wayne and his friendship with Harvey Dent. How you could turn somebody as good as Harvey Dent into a bad guy is really good. I don't know, it's really hard because the top 10 are amazing and this belongs in there though. Number 8, Double Talk. I praise that episode so much with the ventriloquist being cured. You may say, oh, but he's a villain again according to this episode. But no, remember, it was all a dream. So in Batgirl's dream, he still never reformed. The episode 9, Trial, very similar kind of to this one. That's all the villains teaming up to put Batman on trial for what he has done. So where that was the villains judging Batman, this one we have Gordon judging Batman. And at number 10, finally, we got Read My Lips with that's the first appearance of the ventriloquist. That's a personal favorite of mine. Ventriloquist and Scarface is such a unique villain that I really think they deserve that top spot. I think I'm gonna put this episode somewhere in the middle of those 10, and right above Two-Face Part 1, while Two-Face is my favorite villain and I really do love the exploration of his character, of how he's broken down from being a good man to what he turns out to be, the fact that it's split up into two parts, while very apropos for the villain, hurts it, because Part 2 is not as good as Part 1. Number six is Heart of Ice. As I mentioned, that's a really good episode, and it's very sentimental, and it turned a really Z-grade villain into a superstar with what they did with him. This episode, I think, should probably be right below that. So at our new number seven, we have Over the Edge. All right, everybody, that's going to be it for this week. Thank you for joining me. And remember, if you have any questions, suggestions, or thoughts on the reviewed episodes or the show in general, send them to captain_marvelous1@yahoo.com. I have been your host, Captain Marvelous. And remember, no matter where you're from, no matter who you are, we are... There's no need to tell us. We already know. My four-cornered room, staring at candles. Who got me? We on the radio, dude? Oh, all right. The teacher's here. At night, I can't sleep. I toss and turn. Candlesticks in the dark. Visions of bodies being burned. Four walls closing in, getting bigger. I'm paranoid, sleeping with my finger on the trigger. My mother's always stressing I ain't living right. But I ain't going out without a fight. See, every time my eyes close, I start sweating and blood starts coming out my nose. It's somebody watching the act, but I don't know who it is, so I'm watching my back. I can see him when I'm deep in the covers. When I awake, I hear a car burning rubber. He owns a black hat like I own, a black suit and a cane like my own. Some might say take a chill, B, but I can't, G, cause there's somebody trying to kill me. I'm popping in the clip when the wind blows. Every 20 seconds got me peeping out my window. Investigating the joint for traps. Checking my telephone for taps. I'm staring at the woman on the corner. It's messed up when your mind is playing tricks on you. I make big money, I drive big cars, everybody know me. It's like I'm a movie star, but late at night, something ain't right. I feel I'm being tailed by the same sucker's headlights. Is it that mood that I ran off the block? Or is it that clown last week that I shot? Or is it the one I beat for $5,000? Thought he had cane, but it was gold, metal, flower. Reached under my seat, now my papa for the suckers. Ain't no use to me lying, I was scared than a monster. Put the left in the Popeyes and Bell Dot quick. If it's going down, let's get it over with. Here they come, just like I figured. I got my hand on a chrome-plated trigger. When I saw, I'll make you start giggling. Three blind, crippling, crazy senior citizens. I live by the sword. I take my boys everywhere I go, becoming paranoid. I keep looking over my shoulder and peeping around corners. My mind is playing tricks on me. Day by day it's more impossible to cope. I feel like I'm the one that's doing dope. Can't keep a steady hand because I'm nervous. Every Sunday morning I'm in service, praying for forgiveness and trying to find an exit out the business. I know the Lord is looking at me, but yet he still is offering me to feel happy. I often drift when I drive, having fatal thoughts of suicide. Bang and get it over with. And then I'm worry-free, but that's nonsense. I got a little boy to look after. And if I die, then my child would be a bastard. I had a woman down with me. But to me, it seems like she was down to get me. She helped me out in this. But to me, she was just another chick. Now she's back with her mother. Now I'm realizing that I love her. Now I'm feeling lonely. My mind is playing tricks on me.
This year, Halloween fell on a weekend. Me and Ghetto Boys are trick-or-treating. Robbing little kids for bags. Till an old man got behind our rags. So we speeded up the pace. Took a look back, and he was right before our face. We were in for a squab, no doubt. So I swung and tried to take him out. He was going down, we planned. But this wasn't no ordinary man. He stood about 6 or 7 feet. Now that's the creep I be seeing in my sleep. So we triple teamed on him. dropping them Fifth Ward bees on him. The more I swung, the more blood flew. Then he disappeared, and my boys disappeared too. Then I felt just like a fiend. It wasn't even close to Halloween. It was dark as death on the streets. My hands were all bloody from punching on the concrete. Aw, man, homie. My mind is playing tricks on me.